This is a Rabble Podcast Network show.
Rabble.ca.
Hi, I'm Wayne McPhail, and I was one of the people that originally started the Rabble Podcast Network, and I think that you should support the Rabble Podcast Network and Rabble.ca because there's no other place where you're going to get such a diversity of voices speaking truth to power.
The Rabble Podcast Network is 10 years old this year. Show your support by going to rabble.ca/donate.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
Our first guest this morning is Anishinaabe comedian, educator, and media maker Ryan McMahon. He is keynote speaker at Media Democracy Day, taking place today at SFU Harbor Center. Ryan McMahon is a leading advocate for Indigenous media in this country. He's the first native stand-up comedian to do a one-hour special for CBC TV. He's host to the podcast Red Man Laughing, which takes a critical look at the collision between Indian country and the mainstream. Two of his recent projects are the documentary Colonization Road with filmmaker Michelle St. John, and the podcast series titled Stories from the Land. And we're very happy to have Ryan McMahon with us this morning. Hello, Ryan.
Hi, good morning.
I want to start with stand-up. What's the appeal for you of that format?
The appeal is, you know, every chance you're on stage, you have a chance to, you know, reach somebody's heart and somebody's mind with the ideas that you deem important. And so it really provides a safe space to connect and to interconnect ideas and similarities, but also maybe point out some of the hypocrisies and some of the differences. So any chance you have to do that in front of 300 or 400 people every night, it's an encouraging space where I feel it's important to take advantage of that opportunity. And whether you're making fun of yourself or making fun of, the place where we find ourselves in today, it is a safe space for people to get a perspective that they've never had before.
Now, you perform in Legion Halls in remote First Nations communities. You performed at Just for Laughs in Montreal. You did that special I mentioned for CBC. I'm guessing you have quite different conversations with those different audiences.
Yes, I think some of the conversations are different, though most of the conversations are quite similar. I don't change my act for a non-Indigenous audience. Basically, when I present something, I'm presenting it as it is. And I guess maybe what I do differently is I do maybe set up the context of the jokes or of the material a little bit differently. But in essence, I'm doing pretty much the same act every time. And why I do that is pretty simple, is that if you're in the audience and the references are going over your head, it gives you a little bit of homework to do when you get home. Google is a wonderful thing, but I'm not really interested in trying to soften the ideas or lessen the blow of the material. I'm really there to extend the invitation into the world that I'm trying to present, and in doing so, that, you know, people sometimes, yes, they have work to do to catch up to the material, but that's the challenge of stand-up comedy. Good stand-up comics transcend those challenges and make it accessible for all in the room, and I think that's always my challenge, and that's what I strive to be really good at.
And you are. I watched some of your stand-up, and it's very, very funny.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you.
Now, Red Man Laughing, that's a podcast you started a little over 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. Is it comedy too?
It was, until Idle No More hit. I mean, it's probably the worst titled podcast on iTunes, because it's gone from a comedy podcast where I did characters and shared stand-up comedy, live clips from shows, monologues, fake commercials, it started there. But now it's, it's a sort of an investigation into the place we find ourselves in today. So sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's angry, sometimes it's heart-wrenching. The podcast is really a space for me to explore the ideas that I'm kicking around and take people along that journey.
The most recent season, your subject is reconciliation. How, in what ways have you tackled that huge subject?
Well, I tried to do so in a fair way, in a forward-looking way, in a critical way. I tried to do so, in real time, as the TRC completed its mandate and as different issues around reconciliation sprung up, I targeted them specifically to kind of show people the process of engaging with what this work is today and what it might be tomorrow. And so we did everything from travel to communities, to talk with Justice Murray Sinclair, to engaging with youth and elders in communities to talk about reconciliation. We really ran the gambit in terms of the types of presentations that we wanted to engage in around reconciliation for the podcast, in trying to present the complexities, the failures of reconciliation so far, and maybe some of the successes so far. So we really tried to be fair and represent it as it is sort of currently. And that was the goal, and I think we did a decent job.
Now, I mentioned the film Colonization Road in my introduction, and when I was preparing to talk to you today, I Googled Colonization Road, and the first thing that came up with maps, and I was really shocked to discover that there are actual roads called Colonization Road. It's a real road. It's a real place.
Yeah, it's not a metaphor. Well, it is a metaphor, but it is quite literal. Yeah.
Tell me about the story about how that film came about.
In 2001, Michelle St. John, with her brilliant theater company, Turtle Gals, Jenny Lozon, Monique Mojica, and Michelle St. John, visited my home community, Kuchiching First Nation. And at the foot of our ceremonial sacred grounds, there's a road called Colonization Road. And Colonization Road is at the foot of what used to be our burial mounds. And they saw the street sign and they took a picture and kind of raised an eyebrow, and they couldn't believe what they saw. There was a road literally called Colonization Road. Fast forward about a year, they showed me the picture. I got excited. I said, "Hey, that's my reserve." And they said, "No, dummy, look at the street sign." And that was the first time in 2002 where it occurred to me, oh man, what is that? You know, and it really shook me. It woke me up to this whole reality that Colonization Road started at the foot of our ceremonial grounds and our sacred burial mounds. And what does that mean? And why is it Colonization Road? And where else is Colonization Road? And then we did some investigating, and through time it went from a monologue to a full theater piece to a research around the roads and an article to a short film treatment to a feature-length documentary. And where we ended up landing with the film is we have a one-hour TV documentary. So it is an investigation into the Colonization Road Act, the Homestead Act, and the free land grant system that basically settled Canada, that allowed the Dominion of Canada to sort of conquer the West through these very deliberate systems that displaced and violently removed Indigenous peoples from their homelands in order to create this experiment that we call Canada. So it's a Canadian, it's Canadian history through an Indigenous lens, I guess.
No, I haven't seen the film, but I've read reviews of the film, and you know, when you say it's kind of unpacking the history of government policies, it sounds dry, but I understand it's not dry.
No, I'm as angry as ever. We take a pretty fair and good investigative look into the black and white policies on paper. There are no politics here. We don't poll I suppose when you make a documentary, you are making it with bias, but we just use the documents we found. We did extensive research with PhDs and historians, with elders, with communities, with government, and with historians that know about this, this very deliberate act. And I got to do some stand-up comedy around it. So, yeah, we take a lighthearted look at times. We take very serious look at times. We look at essentially colonialism and where it came from. We look at it in present day in terms of how it's playing out in the future. And then we ask the question, if colonialism is ongoing, which it is, how in the heck can we talk about reconciliation when, you know, the foot squarely on our throats is this colonial system, and even the well-meaning liberals, you know, have really no interest in righting these wrongs. You know, we cannot program and service our way out of this mess. We have to look at the fundamental problem, and that is it all goes back to land, and that's what we address in the film.
Well, there's so much I'd like to talk to you about, Ryan, but I know you're on a tight schedule today, and you're going to be a keynote speaker at Media Democracy Day. What are you going to talk about?
Well, the keynote is called Dabajimunan, Bush Tea, and Anishinaabe Life. So Dabajimunan is the word that we use in my language for storytelling. So storytelling, bush tea, so sitting out in out on the land, drinking tea, and rediscovering ourselves as we are today. So the intersection of technology, media, and indigenous worldview, and how we can create good spaces for us to get to know each other better, and let's find our common ground and hopefully spark that that larger discussion around a pathway forward.
We're going to play people a little segment from your series, Stories from the Land, kind of after I've said goodbye to you. So I wanted to let you know that people are going to have a sense of your style. I very much appreciate you talking to me this morning, Ryan.
Well, as always, this radio station has been so kind to me through the years of me traveling and touring across this land, and it's an honor to be here on the West Coast and to be welcomed this way. So I say thank you to you and appreciate you reaching out to help amplify this work.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Have a great day.
I've been speaking with Ryan McMahon. He's going to be speaking at noon at SFU's Harbor Center as part of Media Democracy Day. And we're going to play you part of the preview for the series Stories from the Land that went out on Ryan's podcast in August. And I'll just warn people that there is some swearing in this segment.
If you ask nice enough, the land will tell you stories. If you put out your offerings enough times, something will come. If you close your eyes, then open them real fast, get a picture of what's in front of you, then close your eyes fast again, you'll see things. Tonight, while paddling, I closed my eyes real fast, then I opened them, then I closed them again, then I opened them, and I saw things. I heard things. You see, I put out a lot of offerings. I ask a lot of questions of the land. I ask the land to tell me stories, and it does. I'm on an unnamed lake in Treaty 3. I closed my eyes, I opened them. I closed my eyes again, and then I opened them again, and I saw a camp. I know it's a camp because I've seen a lot of camps, and I've been to a lot of camps, and I know a camp when I see a camp, and I know what I'm seeing is a camp. An old Anishinaabe camp. There's bald rocks, canoes dragged up on shore, smoldering fires, wigwams where the people sleep, a little beach, and a grass clearing. I don't know how long this was a camp for, but I know it was a place where people stopped, maybe just as a quick stop to help them get on their way. The wind is at my back, and it carries me closer to the camp. I close my eyes, then open them, then close my eyes, then open them, and I see children playing, and I see the old ones watching them. They're laughing and pointing at the kids as they swim. The old ones, the elders, their laughs are like songs. There aren't many breaks for breath, just a steady stream of laughter and song. You see, we used to laugh and sing a lot. Before Canada was a country, before the Queen started stealing our children played and laughed fearlessly, freely, and fiercely. They enjoyed the land, the water, Anishinaabe life, because that's all there was. I close my eyes, I open them, I close my eyes again, and I open them again, and I see the children swimming. They're playing on the beach, they're making sandcastles, or sand wigwams. The sand structures, they aren't intricate, they just are. The kids don't fuss too much over them because they understand nothing is permanent, that the sand must return to being sand someday, and that's okay. I close my eyes, I open them, I close my eyes and I open them, and this time I'm interrupted by a jet boat towing behind privileged white kids in a giant rubber tube. The kids are wearing name brand designer swimming shorts and they look bored. They make lap after lap on the small lake, and the boat moves quickly. Their waves topple over the side of my canoe, and I swear at them, oh, for fuck's sakes, don't get my sleeping bag wet, you prick. They drive off to the next bay, and they disrupt whatever beauty is over there. You see, when you move fast in a boat on the water, you won't see things. When you move fast in a boat on the water, you have no way of knowing that this is Anishinaabe Aki. You miss it. You're going too fast. You see nothing. I can't imagine seeing nothing when being out here. I want to tell them to close their eyes, then open them, then close their eyes, then open them again. I want to tell them to put out offerings. I want to tell them that when they ask enough, the land will tell them stories. I want to tell them that our stories are in these trees, our songs are in this water, our lives are on this land. But they're gone. I paddle away slowly. I don't see the camp anymore, but I know it was a camp. I know it's a camp because I've seen a lot of camps and I've been to a lot of camps, and I know a camp when I see a camp, and I know what I saw was a camp.
And fading away there is Ryan McMahon, and that's from his new series, Stories from the Land. Ryan McMahon is going to be speaking at Media Democracy Day at noon at SFU Harbor Center.